Hey, how are you today? Mad Cupid here with another episode of Talking Games with Mad Cupid. I, of course, am Mad Cupid, and thank you for joining in on this podcast. Before we get started, want to talk to you about who this podcast is brought to you by. It is brought to you by Nova Energy Drink. Nova Energy is an amazing energy drink. It is vegan-friendly, keto-friendly, free of common allergens, sugar-free, only 5 calories per serving, and there are 40 servings per tub. It is simply an amazing energy drink. And you should totally go to NovaEnergyDrink.com, and you will receive 10% off if you use code Cupid. So check it out. It is an amazing, awesome energy drink. And also, you can get 10% off these amazing mixers. And they are built to last. So, but moving on to our topic today. Our topic on Talking Games is neo-retro. And what I define as neo-retro games are games that come out. They're new games that were developed for, you know, modern systems, but they have a retro inspiration. Couple games I'll talk about. Streets of Rage 4. Game's amazing. Streets of Rage 2 is probably one of my most favorite beat-em-ups. And playing Streets of Rage 4 just brings me back to playing those games on the Sega Genesis. And there's also Cuphead, which, wonderful, beautiful game that punishes you. But if you snag the right pattern, you will get through it. And then, of course, there's Bloodstained, both Curse of the Moon and Ritual of the Night. Ritual of the Night, you know, is a little more modern with the graphics, but it has, you know, a retro inspiration. Curse of the Moon has that classic, as I like to call it, the Castlevania graphics, but it does give you that new school feel and give you new school options. And that's one thing about Neo Retro. It gives you the retro feel, but it also puts a modern twist on it. And it's awesome because as someone who grew up a gamer in starting in the 80s, I love these type of games because it reminds me of when I was a kid playing them on, you know, Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Sega Master System, Nintendo 64, and so on. They are wonderful games. And, you know, not every one of the games that come out is great, of course, but the ones I mentioned are really good. And, of course, you know, they're coming out with a lot of remasters, but I don't know if I would consider those neo-retro, although they are really good games, and they add some extra modern flair to a retro game. You know, for example, the new Ghosts and Goblins, that game was hard back in the day, it's hard now. And also when they remastered DuckTales, they added a lot more to that remaster. Like, it wasn't just, hey, let's take it and update the graphics. They added voice acting. They added a couple extra things here and there. And they added extra stuff to the boss battles. They added a little more story to it. So, you know, that was not just a remaster. That was, you know, it was more of, you know, a updated remaster would be probably the best way to say it. It is still the same DuckTales that I remember on the NES, but of course, like I said, they added all the little extra stuff like the voice acting and more of a story. And again, that is a game I really like too. But going back to Streets of Rage 4, I remember the first time I played that, it was so much fun. I played it with a buddy of mine. We went through it and we ended up beating it, and it, you know, it's a lot of fun. They brought back some of your characters that you love, like Axel and Blaze, and Axel has buffed up. They got a few other characters, Cherry, I think that was her name, yeah, Cherry, and that is actually Adam's daughter from the first game, Adam, and his, you know, his brother Skate, so it's his niece. But, I mean, they added some story. You get to also see characters like Max. They talk about, you know, they have even the option to play as some of the original characters with the original sprites. Like, you can unlock characters from Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3. And it's using the original Sega Genesis graphics. And you can also, you can either use the updated music or the classic music, which I love the classic music, so I'm going to use that. But what, you know, and one thing about, you know, Streets of Rage 4 is that, you know, even though it is a modern Streets of Rage game, it still captures the feel of the originals. And that right there is a true neo-retro game. And also, there's another character, Floyd. He has, like, the robotic arms. He's, like, the big, brute, tough guy. Kind of, he worked with the doctor from the third Streets of Rage with the robot arms. And, of course, the guy, like I said, you run into Max. He's not a playable character at the time. I think they're going to be adding him later. But he is, you know, of course, he's cool, just to see. Character, I mean, I love using, once I unlocked Adam, he's the one I like to use the most, Adam Hunter. And his daughter's really good, too. If you like the, you know, if you're more of a someone who likes to use Skate from Streets of Rage 2, you will like Cherry. Of course, if you used Axel, you'll love Axel. I mean, Axel's the same Axel. He just is a bit more buff. Blaze is really cool, and their super moves are really awesome, too. Blaze, actually, hers is a healing move, which, that's really good if you're needing healing. But, of course, the one I like to use most in the game, like I said, is Adam. But it is cool to try out all the different characters, see how you like them, who you like the best. But that's any game. Try them all out, see what you like. Gives you different challenges, and that is another good thing, because this one really, really does give you the extra challenges. It gives you all the fun that you had from the originals. So, you know, if you play through, the whole thing is Axel's going to be different playing through as Adam or Cherry or Floyd or Blaze. So, definitely go through, check it out. Try it out. It is on Xbox Game Pass, so if you do have that, you can just get that. It's also on the cloud, so you can play it on your phone, and you don't even need, like, a controller. You can just play it on the touch screen. And, you know, that is an awesome addition if you do have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, that is. And I'm not paid to say that, but I do have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, because, you know, that way I can get the games on PC, Xbox, and my phone. So, but moving on to another game, Cuphead. Now, Cuphead wasn't based on, like, a game from the past. It was, but it's its own unique IP. But it gives you, like, the feel, like, kind of like, the game I would compare it to most would be, like, Contra. You have 3 to 4 hits. You get hit that many times, you're dead. There are a few run-and-gun levels, pretty much like Contra, jumping and dodging and everything, parrying. Also, but a lot of the game is fighting different bosses. And sometimes you do have to go in. Sometimes you're flying. Sometimes you're just on the ground. But you always have to get the pattern. And one thing about the game is it really is good if you have 2 players. That way, if you do die, your player 2 or player 1, whichever one you are, your partner who is playing with you, they can actually bring you back to life. Because if you're playing single player, you die, you're done. But they can parry your heart and bring you back, because that's, like, one of the abilities. If you ever played Cuphead, there are little items that are pink, and you can pretty much slap them, and it gives you, like, extra power, extra power-ups, and like I said, it will bring your your partner back so they can keep going, which will really help. But you really, with this game, you gotta get the patterns. You're usually not gonna beat the boss the first time or get through a level the first time, but the more you do it, you're gonna learn how these bosses move, how the enemies move. So that is one thing that is very reminiscent of a retro game, is that they are on that specific pattern. And I mean, of course, modern games do have those patterns too, but back in the day where they couldn't put as much into it, that was how they were able to do it. Each enemy moved on a different line. And for example, Pac-Man, the ghosts move in a certain way. It's programmed and they can turn, but they always move based on the programming. And, you know, programming now today is a bit more complex, so they can add a lot more to it. But still, in boss battles, you have the patterns you have to get so that you can defeat your enemy. And I haven't played too much of the Bloodstained games. I played some, and I did really like Curse of the Moon with the Castlevania graphics, and Ritual of the Night felt a lot like Rondo of Blood. And it also felt somewhat like Symphony of the Night too, but more closer to Rondo of Blood with the Castlevania series. But that's mainly what those reminded me of with Castlevania. They're a lot of fun. But like I said, I haven't played too much of them, but what I played I really do like. It is neo-retro. It has been catching on a lot. I call these games neo-retro just so when I'm explaining to someone, I said, it's more like a neo-retro game, as in, you know, it's new, but it has that retro feel. That's neo-retro to me. Also, there's some other awesome games, like if you've ever played the Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures, and they have two of those games are definitely neo-retro games. They have that retro feel with the challenge, but it has that modern take as well, and they have the originals, which I've played both of those through. The first one had like the different, you could have different party members that each had different types of attacks, and then in the second one you had to find the nerds equipment that every time you got a different piece of equipment, like the power glove, you'd punch through walls. If you had, like, they call it the swear and shout, it lets you see the invisible blocks. You had the trackpad, which was like a cape and let him glide. The uber scope, which would upgrade your zapper. And you had your the nerd loafer, so you can jump on the wall. And then there was the turbo belt buckle that gave you, like, the ability to charge up your weapon. And you had to go through, and you had each world in there, you had to find these things, and to get the good ending, you have to get all this stuff, because if you don't, it'll pretty much be like, but you didn't get all my stuff, so you have to go back through and do it again. And they've also released a deluxe version, which I was able to pick up on the Switch, and I really liked the upgrades they did. I definitely suggest getting that version. But if you'd like to get the original as well, I would go for that too. That way you can see what it originally was and then what they upgraded. In the first game that they made, the final boss was the game programmer. And if you've ever watched any of the Angry Video Game Nerd, he talks about Fred Fuchs. And Fred Fuchs was a programmer on a game. He goes, hey, is that guy's name Fred Fuchs? Well, at the end, it's like, I'm Fred Fuchs, I'm your mortal enemy, and there, you know, that's the final battle, you gotta beat him. And Angry Video Game Nerd actually did an episode where he actually had Fred Fuchs on, which was actually played by Gilbert Godfrey. But in the original Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures, the guy who actually programmed the game made himself designed as Fred Fuchs, but when they did the upgraded version, they made it look more like Gilbert Godfrey. And then going on to the second game, you always would have showdowns with the Nostalgia Critic. Well, they changed that in the deluxe version, they changed that to Fred Fox. But you still ran into Bored James and the Nerd Turd. And they also added an extra, the Tower of Doom, where you get to fight, like, Bugs Bunny, and I think you fight Satan as well. I need to go back through and play it again on hard mode. But, yeah, those games, if you like retro games, or as I like to say, neo-retro, definitely check those out as well. There are so many great games, you know. I can't talk about every single game, but, you know, like I said, I grew up playing games in the 80s, the 90s, so I love these type of games. And anytime I see someone that can do it right, I jump all over it. And again, you know, like I said, they're remastering a lot of games, but a lot of remastered is just touch-ups of older games. Like, hey, let's take the same game, but just give it better graphics. And I mean, I don't know if I can really call that neo-retro. It's because for me, neo-retro, it has to have a little more of a unique IP, kind of like, you know, Streets of Rage 4 was the next chapter. Cuphead was its own game. The Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures and the Bloodstained games, you know, they're their own IPs. Like I said, also went back going to DuckTales Remastered. Yeah, that's a remaster, but they at least added some more stuff. And there's also another game coming out, Diablo 2 Resurrected. I cannot wait for this game. They have upgraded a lot of stuff in this game and made it more modern. So it is the same game, but it has more better graphics, better controls, everything. So that's another one I can't wait. Again, I wouldn't call that one neo retro. I mean, it's just more of a remastered, but at least they did add games. But you know, it is nice to see that they are going back and they are remastering some of the games we loved. And like, they remastered, I think, back in the mid-2000s, when the Wii was out, they remastered Castlevania The Adventure. And they called it Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth. And the Castlevania Adventure was a game on the Game Boy. And that, the game on Game Boy was great. And then they went and upgraded it. Much better graphics, much better controls and everything. And, you know, made a amazing upgrade to that game. And another game they've done, like they're doing, is with the Final Fantasies. You know, they're upgrading those. They're, again, some of them aren't really remastered. They're just tweaking the graphics a little more. Some of them are like 3D remakes, like they did Final Fantasy IV, and then they did Final Fantasy IV The After Years. They were the 3D remakes, because they actually did make a 2D version, kind of like with Super Nintendo graphics on the Wii, but it was only on the Wii. But, you know, it is good, though, that they are keeping this going, because, you know, not only is it good for the crowd that loves the retro games, but it's also good that new gamers get to see these games, and maybe they'll see this and decide to go back and try some of the old games that, you know, the older generation, Gen X, the Millennials, and as I'm called, a Zennial, I guess, that we loved. Like, the games that, you know, three tries, you're dead, start over. Which, again, you know, with the remasters and the Neo, they're adding more abilities not to have to constantly restart, because, honestly, we all know, that gets old. It's like someone said to me, he's like, why are you using save states on your Nintendo Classic when you're playing Super Mario Bros. 3? I said, if we had the opportunity to save Super Mario Bros. 3 when we were kids, we would have done it. Yes. Some say they wouldn't, but honestly, most of us would. If I had the ability to save and go back, that would have been great. Because we all know Super Mario Bros. 3 was a pretty long game. It had 8 worlds, and luckily they had the warp whistles. But having that ability on the NES Classic really does help, especially if you know, most of us are adults that played that game when we were kids. We might have our own kids, so sometimes you have to stop and go take care of your children like you're supposed to do as a responsible parent and adult. But, you know, back in the day, if your parents are like, you're on world six, or and you're getting through and you're about to get to world seven, like, you better turn that off now. But Dad, I'm so close. Nope, turn it off. Go to bed. And you go back and start it over the next day. Luckily, you know, you can get, like I said, get the warp whistles and get there. But, you know, it's nice to be able to just pick up from where you saved. But, you know, hey, we had what we had, and we did what we could with what we had back in the day. Luckily, there were some games with passwords, and even some games had the save batteries. But luckily, we now have hard drives and memory cards and everything that allow us to save and keep going with that. So, Neo Retro is definitely a great thing, and it is helping us old school gamers recapture what we loved about games in the past, and they're giving us something new to go with that. So, Neo Retro games are definitely amazing. So, it is good that we have them. But, anyway, though, Neo Retro games are amazing. It is so nice to be able to recapture the past and get to play these games, but with that upgraded graphics and everything, and the voice acting and all the stuff they can add to games now, it just makes it even better. And, you know, I love, like I said, I love the old retro games, and it is always nice to see game companies try and recapture that feel that we had when we were kids. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and remember, it is brought to you by Nova Energy. Check out NovaEnergyDrink.com. Use code Cupid. I drink this stuff every day. It keeps me going with no crash, no jitters or anything, and no heart rate elevation. So definitely check it out at NovaEnergyDrink.com. I also do stream on Twitch. Check out my schedule at twitch.tv/madcupid. And also, I'm on YouTube. And this, if you are watching this on YouTube, check the links below. I'll have links to everything, my Twitch channel, my schedule, my Patreon, my Discord. If you want to join in on Patreon, you can suggest topics that I talk about on my podcast in the future. I'm also planning to have guests on and everything, so we'll be doing like special podcasts. One I'd love to do is who would win, and we just talk about different characters from different games and put them against each other and talk about who would win. So that is definitely something I do want to do in the future. But if you want to make a suggestion, definitely pop it in the comments or join Discord. Again, if you're on YouTube, I'll have all the links below. So definitely check that out. And I will see you in the next podcast. Thank you for listening.